Yes, so today is Victory Sunday, and because it's Victory Sunday, let's play a little game called Capture the Flag. Here we go. That's how Capture the Flag should be played. Okay, the next time we play it, we'll give you all ammunition and rocket-propelled grenade launchers. Real stuff, not this paintball wussy stuff. Okay, Loreco, that's what we're going to do in future. So, you don't want to be there, but it's a lot of fun being shot at. Because you know that if you actually hear the bullet, then you're alive. Because it means it's gone over your head. So it's the problem when you don't hear the bullet. That's the problem. You want to be hearing a bullet, okay, or the missile or whatever. So we're doing a whole lot of like tough issues, big issues. Today it's sexual sins. That's our target, I guess. But let me just rewind and say, last week, Super Mario nailed this idea that we could fall into spiritual errors. You know, there could be problems with the way we think, problems with the way we believe, and with the things that we do that could cause us to fall into spiritual errors, maybe like wrong philosophies or religions even, or cults. Occults. I mean, it's almost every month some cult pops up in the world and people are shooting each other and doing really dumb stuff, which is not really part of discipleship, is it? I mean, we're not here to kill each other, but to make alive, obviously. And so there's idols. There could be covenants that we enter into that are wrong. And I remember Mario saying, if an organization makes you pledge allegiance and there's a secrecy, time to walk away. Don't stay there. You know, but he also had some real solid and positive hope. How can we stay free and pure? Stay in the Bible. You know, if you're not reading the Bible in the week, then there's like that light on the dashboard blinking, you know? You can only go so far without putting petrol in and your car's going to peter to a stop. You have to be in the Word. The little top up on Sunday, may I dare say, is not enough to sustain you long haul. You have to get to know Jesus. It's actually all about Jesus, a relationship with Jesus. It's important to listen to our leaders. I listen to leaders. You saw Simon here Friday night at the youth event. Roger, Nicola. I submit myself. These are guys that are younger than me, but I submit to them because I see wisdom in them, and I'm willing to learn and receive from them. Do I question sometimes? Yeah, sure. But I listen. I submit. Find leaders that you can listen to and submit. And the last two things were, wherever you go, be exposing error, because then you're not going to fall into the error. Okay, so read up about stuff. And then lastly, live by a new standard of love, which is what we were encouraged. So it gives me a huge privilege today to call someone that I've got to know and love here at His People Church. Loreco is a real legend, probably the funniest guy on planet Earth next to Trevor Noah. And now this is not really a funny day, is it? But he's going to warm your heart and challenge you and bless you. Loreco, thank you. At quite short notice, David Webb was going to be sharing this Sunday, but his mum died just last week, so he's in America. But his wife, Caroline, is sharing with the ladies. So you're a champ. Apparently, you're the sexual sins guy, I hear, at Victory Weekend. And that means he's not into sexual sins. God bless you as you share with us.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Yeah, so apparently, somebody said to Pastor Mark, Yano, you want to know about sexual sins? Go talk to Loreco. So I don't know what that says about me, but this is a great topic. I'm not sure how funny it is, but it's certainly relevant for us, gentlemen. So it's a great privilege for me to come and chat with you guys about this, and I wanna have a conversation with you guys, and I want to be real with you guys and just let you in into some of my walk and my experience, my journey with God started in 2005. I wish that it had started earlier. I met Jesus on campus at the university campus at UJ, and it changed my life. It really did. But it meant that in high school, I wasn't as privileged as you guys were to be able to be part of a spiritual family, to be discipled, to have a place of belonging. So there was lots of opportunity for me to get things wrong. And so there was lots of healing that needed to be done when I came into the kingdom. So I look at you guys and I consider you to be yards ahead of me, ahead of where I was when I was your age, and so much wiser, because you have wise counsel and you have people like Pastor Mark leading you, and that's an absolute privilege that I certainly wish that I had had. But with regards to sexual sins, we live in a sexual minefield. We really do. If you watch, does anybody watch TV? You guys watch a bit of TV? Then you'll know we live in a sexual minefield. Everywhere you look is an opportunity to be bombarded by sexual images, sexual ideas. You turn a page in a magazine. You're on the road and you see a billboard. Advertisements that have nothing to do with sex. There's a lady with, in all her glory, you know, advertising a car. Tell me what a car has to do with, you know. but the reality of it is we live in a hyper-sexualized society. And so, and increasingly so. So you guys actually have a lot more to deal with than I did when I was in high school. And so it's relevant that we get a good understanding of how to walk in victory, even in this area of sexual sins. So, I wanna talk a little bit about some of the mines that we talk about. So, if you imagine a minefield, right? You could be walking along your merry way, and you don't know what's right to your left, right to your left. You don't know what's there. You're trying to get to the other side of the field, and boom, and now you're trying to react to this situation, so you're trying to avoid this, and you step on another mine, and now it's a whole situation that you've gotten yourself into. By the time you get to the other side, you're missing a limb, there's a whole lot of bleeding, you need to be patched up, you're not no longer who you were. All of these things happen because we sometimes are walking blindly, unaware of the minefield that we are walking through. But the good news is that we can be aware and we can be empowered to avoid these situations. So, one minefield, peeping. If you have had an opportunity to share things like locker rooms with a female team or something of that sort, then you'll know how easy it is to just have a quick so it becomes easy. But what is the actual problem with peeping? Am I hurting anybody? Just having a quick. What is the actual problem? The problem really lies in a couple of things. One, it's just a gross invasion of privacy, because you weren't invited into that space. Two, you're basically, it would be like, you're walking through the minefield, there's the mine, and I say to you, there's the mine, and then you go and jump on the mine. Because now what you're doing is, and a lot of the stuff that we're going to be discussing falls under this category of what I'm going to call for today, cannon fodder. It's all the stuff that you're feeding into your mind that's going to come back later, and it's going to trip you up. Later on, when you're home in your room alone, later on when you've got a quiet moment, all the images that we feed into our minds are going to come back, and they're going to haunt you. And so, one, yes, it's a violation of privacy. Two, it's fodder that actually it defiles the mind and affects the way that we think. and three, I'm just drawing a broad category of how these different mind fields can affect us, is actually a perversion. It perverts how our idea of sexuality. And so here's another one. Flirting. What's wrong with flirting? Come on, flirting? Really? Harmless old flirting? Really? We're just having some fun here. I want to put it to you that this is a mine. This is a mine. And if I have to think, if I have to bring it back to myself, and feel free to identify, but if I have to bring it back to myself, part of the temptation, with regards to flirting for me was because I was not confident enough in myself, and I had to hide behind something to carry a conversation. That was part of it. I didn't feel confident. I felt like I was insecure, and so I had to deflect. You know, so for me it was distracting the lady from noticing the weaknesses in me, noticing the insecurities in me, or the things that I feel bad or shy about. And so, what do? I make conversation really shallow, and I start flirting. That's one way of looking at it. But also, if you consider the fact that it's actually just a very empty level of communication, it doesn't actually further your communication skills whatsoever, and actually ends up devaluing the person that you're speaking to, because what it does at the end of the day is it objectifies the lady. If this is my mode of communication, then in essence the end of it is that I'm going to objectify her, because it's going to become sexualized, and I'm going to make her the object of my sexual fantasy, whether it comes through in my thinking or in my dialogue, in the words that I use when I'm talking to her. Are we hitting a nerve yet? Because if we haven't hit a nerve yet, then I think we just did. Here's a big one. Here's a big mine. Pornography. When I was in school, I remember walking into school one day. It was in the morning, and I walked into school, and there was a huddle of guys excitedly looking in a sort of inward in a circle. And I walked up to the guys and my friends. So I walked up to the guy, "Hey, what's going on?" Turns out somebody had brought a porn magazine to school. Now, we had porn magazines in those days. we didn't have access to this stuff in our phones. That's why I'm saying that for you guys, man, you really have to be equipped. You really have to know where the minds are. So somebody had brought a porn magazine to school, and everybody was excitedly looking at this thing. And I went and I had a look. And that was my first experience of pornography. It wasn't a willful thing. Somebody exposed me to it, but somebody opened a door. And because somebody opened a door, I was now walking around curious, looking for opportunities, looking for the right people who would have the right materials to be able to satisfy now this thirst that had developed. So now what was I doing? Now I was trying to find magazines, videos, whatever I could to satisfy this thing. But again, it achieved only a few things which I didn't expect. The first thing that it did was it started to make me numb. It made me numb towards sexuality, towards godly sexuality. So when I met Jesus, that was one of the walks that him and I had to go on, is now addressing what had become a numb a numbing in my sexuality and a perverse understanding of what sex is or what sex is supposed to be. It also created unrealistic expectations. I am fortunate enough to be married now for 3 years, and thank God that he saved me, sanctified me, kept me until my wedding day. But being married now, I can have all the sex that I want because I'm married. And it's the kind of sex that God intended. Here's the problem. I had a peek at the kind of sex God had not intended. So I had created an expectation in my mind. And what that did was, it created room for lots of unhappiness. It created room for me to the experience that I expect and the experience that I have, and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, what's going on here? You know? But also, again, I'm objectifying women. I've trained myself to fantasize. I've trained myself to sexualize situations. So now I'm thinking, man, Lord, I only want to think about my wife this way. But now, because I've trained myself, now it's like, oh no, I don't want to think about her. Oh no, I don't want to think about her this way. Oh no, I don't. Now I'm like, Lord, why do I have a dirty mind? But I've trained myself for years and years and years and years on how to think about women. And if we can nip it in the bud now, if you can nip that in the bud now and gain victory over that now, you will be a blessing to yourself. You will be a blessing to your future wife, because that space in your mind will be reserved just for her. How special would that be? Let's see if we can find another mind. Masturbation. Here was my what? What could possibly be wrong with masturbation? I'm not hurting anybody. It's just me. What could possibly be the issue? Again, we come back to, there is a standard that God has created. And if we are not living by that standard, anything what we're doing over here is falling short of that standard. God created something beautiful. Sex is something that is beautiful. He created it. It was his idea. It wasn't the devil's idea. It wasn't some naughty person's idea. It was God's idea. And he thought it was a great idea. But there were boundaries that he put around it. This is how it ought to be experienced. This is when it is a blessing. When it is not experienced like this, it is not a blessing. In fact, what is a blessing and then we take it out of context quickly becomes a curse. It quickly becomes something that doesn't add value to our lives. In fact, it takes away or saps the value out of our lives. So when all of the stuff that we're doing, and the reason that it's important for us to capture this flag now, is because if we do it now, we are setting ourselves up for victory later. When you have a wife, when you have kids of your own, when you have a family of your own, man, you will be a whole person. You will enjoy that experience. You won't have to spend years trying to go back and fix and trying to go back to the minefield and collect the limb that you left on the minefield, trying to get through everything. You're arriving a whole person. And so when you're engaging in masturbating, you are again creating an unrealistic experience or an unrealistic sexual experience. When you come together with your wife, the woman that God has prepared for you or is preparing for you right now, you have shortchanged
that experience. Frankly, that's what you've done. You've shortchanged your wedding bed because you've gone ahead of time and you have said, thanks God for this brilliant idea, sex, and how it brings us together as a husband and a wife. I'll sort myself out for now. Does that sound like something you want to do? Do you want to say to God that you'll sort yourself out? Thanks, but no thanks. I've got it. No, you don't. I don't. And we often don't think of it like that. But if we start thinking of it like that, we start to realize the impact that it could potentially have on our lives. How about this one? How about this minefield? Sexting. Very close to the flirting that we spoke about, but obviously over text. Again, we are stealing from ourselves the ability to have a conversation with somebody that makes them feel respected. If I constantly have a conversation, a sexualized conversation with somebody, at some point they're going to stand back and say, I don't think you value me as a person. I don't think you can keep eye contact with me, because when you're talking to me, your eyes are doing this, trying to check out the cleavage. Yeah, I'm listening. How about this minefield? This is a minefield that we didn't have growing up, simply because we didn't have the technology. The technology is available now. Apart from everything that we've spoken about creating a safe space for our godly sexuality to have expression, apart from all of that, this is just a bad idea, because who knows what somebody's going to do with these pics? I mean, the internet being what it is these days, would you want to go to a job interview one day and somebody says, oh, what's your name? Ah, let's look you up. Let's see, you know, Facebook, YouTube. Woo. Yo, I don't think we'll be employing you anytime soon. You don't want those. You want to create those things that are going to come back and haunt you. There's a number of ways that these things can come back and haunt you in the future. Here's another minefield: homosexuality. Sometimes, when we have had very tragic and negative experiences at a very young age, it can misshape our idea of sexuality. Sometimes, if we have had people of authority in our lives who have crossed boundaries, so when there has been abuse, when there's been physical abuse, sexual abuse, those sort of things can tend to mess with our wiring in our minds, how we relate to the opposite sex, how we relate to the same sex. It confuses us. Or if for whatever reason we just have a what maybe starts as a resentment for, so I start with, I have a resentment for my mother, and that grows into a hatred. Now I project that hatred onto all women. Now I hate all women, and in fact, I think I feel safer with men, and I start to confuse that with because we're living in a hyper-sexualized environment. I start to confuse that with a sexual desire. There are a number of reasons.
that we can talk about. Any of these minefields that we're talking about, as they're coming up, and we'll have an opportunity to look at some spiritual profiles in that. But encourage you to talk to somebody that you trust about it. Talk to Pastor Mark, some of your leaders, because what the best weapon that we have is transparency. That is going to be our best weapon. The enemy's weapon that we should fear the most is isolation. When we are struggling with these things, as we walk talking about these minefields, if something is resonating with you, but you are for some reason stepping back and feeling like, I would never confess that, because what would people think about me? You are falling right into the enemy's trap, right into his breadbasket. But when I step out into the light and I say, you know what, this is something that I've recognized as a minefield, I'm going to talk about it, I'm going to have people pray with me about it, and I'm going to see victory in this area. Man, that is a powerful weapon. Of course, one of our bigger minefields, sex before marriage. You guys, I know that some of you guys are doing your matric now, and you're going to be going off to different places. You're going to be going off to campuses, and maybe some of you will be traveling. But your world gets bigger, which means that opportunities multiply, both in the positive and in the negative. So there will be lots of opportunity for you to be tempted to have sex before you meet your wife and marry her. I encourage you to resist that temptation, because to do so, one, the Bible tells us, is defiling your own body. Two, tells us that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so you're not just defiling your own body, you're defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit. Which three, the result thereof is you are in essence affecting the relationship that you would be having with the Holy Spirit. But four, you are shortchanging yourself before you get to your wedding day. You are trying to take your inheritance before it is due. And here's where the enemy gets us. And this is where he tried to get Jesus. Do you guys remember that story of Jesus going off into the wilderness, into the desert, and being tempted by the devil? And the devil tempts it in different ways. If you are, you know, if jump off of this cliff and the angels will catch you, or turn this stone into bread, if you really are who you say you are. There's one interesting temptation that the devil puts before Jesus. He says, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He says, bow down to me, and all of these will be yours. Here's the funny thing with that, is that all of those kingdoms... Come on, say it.
Are already his.
Come on. All of those kingdoms are already his. So you're trying to tempt me with something that's already mine. And I keep falling for it. Could kick myself. God has made sex available to you. It is yours. It is yours to have. Don't let the enemy come and tell you that... this is how you need. Steal some of it here, steal some of it here. It's already yours. It's already an inheritance and a gift that God has given to you. And we enjoy it in the godly way that God has created for us. So, very quickly. Why do we become vulnerable to attack? And we'll run through these very quickly. But I'll tell you about me. I don't know about you guys. I need to be loved. I need to be loved. And I'll take it however it comes. That's the truth. I need to be loved, and I'll take it however it comes. The ideal is that I receive the ideal kind of love, which is God's kind of love. But if I'm not receiving God's kind of love, I'm going to seek it. I'm going to seek something else. I'm going to seek something else that looks like God's kind of love. If I'm not receiving that, I'm going to seek physical kind of love. If I'm not receiving that, I'm going to seek attention. If I'm not receiving that, I'm going to cry out, and I'll do all sorts of things. but at the end of the day, half of, if not more of the things that I do are driven by the fact that I need to be loved. Maybe you can identify, maybe not. How about passion and affection? I'm a passionate guy. That's why I'm always falling into these sexual sins, because I'm a passionate guy. Again, I want to give you the illustration that I'm sure you will have come across of the fire. Fire is great in the fireplace. Outside of the fireplace, it burns down the house. Not so great anymore. Passion is good, but we are able to channel that passion. Passion doesn't rule us. We can channel that passion towards what is right and what is godly. Peer pressure, which I link quite closely to the fact that I like being liked and I need to be loved. Sometimes I just want to fill a void. Sometimes I'm just lonely. Some of the stuff that I end up doing, going on my phone and looking stuff up, masturbating, looking at porn, I'm just lonely. And of course there's media influences that we've spoken about. How about the fact that we were born with a sinful nature? Here's the good news for you. In Jesus, you no longer have a sinful nature. You have His nature. He takes away from you the sinful nature that tends towards sin naturally. The natural thing for you to do outside of Jesus is to sin. And He gives you a new nature. In Him, the natural thing for you to do is to tend towards what is righteous. So we don't have to be slaves to lust. And I want to read that scripture for you very quickly. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Okay? You are able to live holy lives. Super. So here's what we're going to do. We have some spiritual profiles that are going around. And we've touched on a number of things, some of the minefields and so forth. If any of those things came up for you, I want you to tick them. Tick them off, whether it's something that was in the past, whether it's something that you feel like is a now thing. This is something that is current that I'm struggling with. Where they feel like, no, this one is pretty safe. I don't have to worry about this one. Be honest, guys, because as I mentioned, your strongest tool that you have in your arsenal is that of transparency. Okay. If you don't have a pen, just grab a pen from the person sitting next to you as soon as they're done. And now we're all going to line up and come to the mic, and we're all going to read out our... No, we're not. No, we're not going to do that. We're like, I want to do over. Okay. So we're going to commit these things to the Lord. As you're making your ticks, in faith, and you're trusting that, Lord, as I am acknowledging this sin before you, that you are setting me free, that you are bringing. Oftentimes we come before God like this. I know I do it a lot. I come before God like this, my hands behind my back. Lord, please deliver me from this sin. I'm so tired of repenting. I'm so tired of my prayers starting like this. Lord, it's me again. but here's my sin. Here it is. But Lord, if you'll just take it away from me, if you'll just deliver me. And the Lord is saying to me, I'm not going to arm wrestle you.
for your sin. You need to want to let go of it. You need to come before me like this. Lord, here is my sin. I acknowledge it before you. Take it from me. And part of what we're doing, this is the start of it. This is the start when we're ticking off our list. The next step, and the Bible tells us in the book of James that we need to confess our sins to one another. So the things that you've ticked in there, nobody's going to quiz you or test you about those. But you need to take it upon yourself. Say, I'm going to find somebody that I trust. I'm going to talk to one of the leaders about the stuff that I ticked off. And I'm going to get them to pray for me. And we're going to walk this journey together. But for now, let's stand together. We're going to pray. And we're going to do the five R's which you've been doing. I just want to get them up here. There we go. So, the power of recognition. Power of recognition, recognizing what is the sin that has been so easily entangling you. That is step one. The second thing is repenting. We're repenting, which means we're turning our back on the sin. We're turning our back on it and we're making a conscious decision that I will no longer be caught up in this, and I will no longer think of it in the same way that I used to think of it. Renouncing. I'm breaking agreement with it. I'm breaking agreement with the things that have been so easily entangling me, these sexual sins that have been so easily entangling me. And fourth, I rebuke the enemy in this area. Remove the authority of the evil one. It's not a shout and jump up and down moment. We're just taking authority. When we take authority, authority doesn't come by the volume of our voice. Authority comes because we invited Jesus into the moment. And then we receive forgiveness, and we receive blessing, and we receive grace in this place. So Father, we bring these things before you. Father, we recognize what is the sin that has been so easily entangling us. And even as these young men have been ticking off in their profiles, the sins that have so easily entangled them, they recognize them before you. Father, even as they bring them before you, I want to stand with them in repentance. I want to stand with them in repentance and ask that you would forgive us. Forgive us for doing wrong. Forgive us for breaking trust with you. Because when we have sinned against you. And we have broken trust in the relationship between you and us. And we're coming here because we want to fix what we have broken. We're coming here because we want to bring back the proximity between you and us. We're coming here because we value the relationship that we have with you. And we want to say that we're sorry for breaking trust. We're sorry for hurting you by pursuing after selfish lusts. Father, we want to say before you that we renounce association with these sins. All of them that we've mentioned, all of these minefields that we've talked about, we've renounced association with them. We will no longer be in association with these sins. In fact, we choose not to be in the situations that cause us to sin. Lord, if there are friends who have consistently been stumbling blocks to us, we pray that you'd give us the courage to draw a strong boundary. If there have been situations that we have been taking ourselves into, we pray that you would give us the courage. If there's things that we need to go and delete in our computers and in our phones, give us the grace and the courage and the boldness to do it. Father, we rebuke where the enemy has come and has taken authority in this area. I rebuke you now, and I say to you, you have no authority in this area. We invite your authority, Lord Jesus, to reign. We invite your grace into this area. And Father, we receive right now. We choose to receive your forgiveness. We receive your grace, which empowers us not to sin. We receive your blessing. Father, where we used to fill our minds with corrupted images, with filthy images, we pray that you'd fill our minds with righteousness. fill our minds with thoughts of you. Where we used to occupy our time in sexual sin, we pray that you'd cause us to occupy our time with activities of the kingdom, things that give you glory. Where we used to have conversations with our friends that are not glorifying to you, conversations that are derogatory even to other people, we have repented of those, and we pray that you would give us the boldness to step in there with our friends and to say, no, I won't partake of these conversations, and to have wholesome conversations and wholesome input into one another's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you are in agreement, give me a big amen. 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 Thank you, gentlemen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Over to you, Pastor Mark.
Okay, before we close and tell you what's happening next week, we're going to crumple that up, come throw it in this hat. We'll destroy it on your behalf. Make sure no one sees it. Huge. Doesn't that feel good? That thing can stay gone. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Thank you to Loreco. And I think he spoke straight. He was honest. If you can give the pens to over here, Mario's going to collect them for us. Thanks so much. And come back next week. We'll be looking at addictions. The issues just keep coming. That's the last of the big five we're going to slay. And that I like that. We're going to capture that flag. Capture it while we're young. So.